It is April 25th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast includes commentary from our Hits and Takes section of JLN, stories from the First Read section of today's newsletter, this week's The Spread videos, a listing of the top three stories from Friday's newsletter, and of the first three stories of the Lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. This is not a good news Monday. The unprovoked Russian war against Ukraine and the World War II-esque destruction of Mariupol just became a lot more personal for many of us in the futures industry, with what was described by FIA's Walt Lukin on LinkedIn as a heartbreaking personal story from a native Ukrainian about the devastation that is unfolding in Mariupol. The heartbreaking story was told by his former CFTC colleague and economist Andrei Kirilenko in an opinion piece published in the Globe and Mail on April 20, 2022. Kirilenko was raised in Mariupol, and his 88-year-old immobile mother was there before the Russians invaded. Kirilenko was there last in 2019. He tells the story about where the remaining Ukrainian fighters are in Mariupol, inside a maze of industrial structures that are part of a vast steelworks where Kirilenko worked as a cooling systems repairman the summer before his senior year of high school. His older coworkers gave him lasting advice, some he learned from watching and listening to them, and some they explicitly told him, including to study hard, finish high school, go to a good college, and don't come back. The title of his commentary is, "The destruction of my hometown of Mariupol is something I can never forgive, but that just scratches the surface of the hurt he feels. It is a must read." And just to add to the pain, Andrei offered an update on Twitter yesterday that he made contact with a neighbor who was caring for his mother. The son of the neighbor found Andrei's mother dead on March 11th, then dragged her body to a garage and left it there. He was unable to bury her or go back. You can read the tweet with a link in today's newsletter. Andrei, you have my deepest condolences and respect. This is not a good day, as I have more unhappy news to share. Longtime Chicago Mercantile Exchange member and former CME Group board member Ron Pankow has passed away from complications from an auto accident. Services are this Saturday in Galva, Illinois, at the Rux Funeral Home, with visitation from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. and a lunch following at 11. Interesting side note, Galva is part of land that is called the Central Military Tract that was given to veterans of the War of 1812. In recent years, Ron and his wife Terry ran J.H. Best & Sons in Galva, a firm founded in 1892 that originally produced advertising racks, including for buggy whips. Ron was a friend of my brother Scott's, whom we played basketball with in a church league in Glenview when we were in our 20s. Ron was a terrific athlete and a great shooter. Ron also had family members that belonged to my church in Elmhurst and has roots in the Geneva Lake, Wisconsin area, including a brother who runs the Water Safety Patrol. Ron's late father, for whom he was named, was a pharmacist and a member of the organizing committee to build Lutheran General Hospital in Park Ridge, Illinois. I asked CME Group Chairman and CEO Terry Duffy, who has roots on Geneva Lake himself, for a comment about former CME Group board member Pankow. Duffy said, Ron was one of the most dedicated members of our industry. He truly thrived and loved to preach the benefits of futures and CME. He was a great blend of history and present that has benefited many market participants. May he rest in peace, and may the dear Lord look over his family. Condolences to Ron's wife, Terry. There's a picture I shared of Terry from Facebook of Ron and her at a black tie event. It looks like a wedding. And the whole Pankow family, his friends and colleagues. Ron was such a class act. Also, for the last 4 years, Leslie Sutphin has been helping her mother navigate cognitive decline and Alzheimer's disease. Constance Marie Sutphin died on Good Friday, and Leslie shared the tribute she wrote about her mother, her obituary, on LinkedIn. Condolences to Leslie and her family on the passing of her mother. Congratulations to Nick Garrow, who is joining Trading Technologies as Executive Vice President in a new position covering multi-asset trading and buy-side traders. Happy anniversary to Eurex Micro Futures on DAX, Eurostox, and SMI. Did you miss the April 21st Eurex Focus Day, Digital Assets and Crypto Derivatives, including the keynote address by former CFTC Chairman J. Christopher Giancarlo? Not to worry, you can watch it with a link in today's newsletter of this webcast replay. Aventis is hiring and looking for a sales manager for EMEA to work remotely from the UK. It is good to know that Sunil Cattuno is just like the rest of us and puts some things off for a while. On February 17th, he was promoted to Chief Information Officer of the CME Group. Over the weekend, he finally updated his title on his LinkedIn page to reflect his new job. April 23rd marks the 25th anniversary of the closing of the Toronto Stock Exchange's trading floor. Congratulations to Audrey Ashburn, who graduated from Florida State University with a master's degree over the weekend. She's the daughter of JLN's Nancy Ashburn and former JLN COO Doug Ashburn. The election in France proves once and for all that Le Pen is not mightier than a long vowel mark. Wink, wink. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From this week's The Spread video series. Cboe to launch new equity index products, FIA hits record volumes, SEC kicks off scholar program applications. Alex Perry's Optiontopia takes a look at this week's options news highlights, including Cboe's Europe's new equity index products, FIA hits record volumes, SEC kicks off scholar programs applications. In John's take, Cboe Empowers Scholarship Surprise Ceremony gets a closer look. And in the term of the week, we look at intrinsic value of cash-settled options. Here's a press release from Trading Technologies International. Trading Technologies International taps Nick Garrow as EVP Multi-Asset and Buy-Side. London-based industry veteran brings 20-plus years of capital markets, prime brokerage, fintech experience to new leadership team role. Trading Technologies International, Inc., or TT, a global provider of high-performance professional trading software, infrastructure, and data solutions, announced that London-based industry veteran Nick Garrow has joined the firm today in the new position of EVP, Multi-Asset and Buy-Side. Garrow has more than 20 years of senior management experience in capital markets and prime brokerage, leading significant global technological and operational transformation of businesses ranging from a tier one bank to brokerage and clearing firms to an exchange and fintech company. My comment. Former PAT Systems executive Nick Garrow joins TT as EVP. I think this is the first time TT has tapped a former PATS executive for a senior position. Excellent choice. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Commodities titan Cargill plans to deploy green ships by 2030. Zero carbon fueled vessels likely will be among the largest. Shipping industry's decarbonization progress remains limited. Commodity trading giant Cargill expects some of its freight vessels to be powered by clean marine fuel before the end of the decade. In 2020, Cargill shipped almost 200 million tons of iron ore, grains, and other goods around the world. It has as many as 700 vehicles on the water at a time, and most of them are leased. All those carriers are currently powered by oil, as is the majority of the world's merchant shipping fleet, which spews more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere than Germany and the Netherlands combined. My comment, the first ship is to be christened Shrek, the second to be Shrek 2, and the third is Shrek the Third. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Workers are winning the return-to-office war because they're right. The deepening clash between knowledge workers and companies is more than just a struggle over commuting and convenience. It's a clash over the meaning of work. The masks are coming off. Restaurants are filling up. International travel is resuming. But one thing is missing from this picture of returning to normality: the rows of office workers bent over their desks. Just over 2 months ago, I wrote that returning to the office was the great class struggle of our time. I'm happy to report that so far, at least, the workers are winning. In the U.S., office occupancy rates seem to have flatlined at about 43%, according to Castle Systems, which collects figures on the number of workers who are working at their desks in America's 10 largest business districts by measuring key swipes. Occupancy rates fell to 42.8% on April 13th, having risen to 43.1% on April 6th. Across the Atlantic, London's occupancy peaked at 42% last month. My comment, the restaurant industry in downtown areas is having a hard time. Landlords are going to have to adjust rents to keep them in business. Here's another story, this one from the FT. Crypto industry Super Bowl ad blitz comes up short. Star-studded marketing push fails to jumpstart sluggish trading volumes as uncertainty prevails. This year's Super Bowl was more than an American football game. It became a chapter in financial history as the crypto industry splashed out millions of dollars on star-studded television advertisements that played on fears of missing out on the next big thing in investing. "Fortune favors the brave," said a commercial for Crypto.com, an exchange based in Singapore, which features basketball's LeBron James counseling a computer-generated version of himself as a teenager that if you want to make history, you've got to call your own shots. My comment, sales are down, but egos hit an all-time high. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was crypto billionaire rankles Wall Street titans with derivatives plan about Sam Bankman-Fried, who was also the Markets Wiki page of the day. Second was a story about another billionaire. Ken Griffin goes all in to make mayor of Key Trading Hub the governor of Illinois. Third was the John Lothian News story, institutional trading options grow among first quarter 2022 trends, says FIA webinar participants, by Sarah Rudolph. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first from the FT. The headline, retail investors drive sharp rise in share trading before Wall Street's opening bell. Transaction volumes outside main session increase as traders react to corporate news more rapidly. Buying and selling of shares before Wall Street's opening bell has surged over the past 3 years in a sign that investors are extending the traditional trading day as they assess company news in real time. In 2019, about 384 million shares changed hand every day outside the U.S.'s standard 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. opening hours. Such deals are usually done on electronic marketplaces, often owned by the biggest U.S. exchanges that run either side of main session hours. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, crypto industry can't hire enough lawyers. Crypto exchanges and companies are poaching attorneys to help them navigate an evolving regulatory landscape and to cut down legal costs. The cryptocurrency industry is ramping up efforts to recruit more legal talent as it faces increased regulatory pressure while looking to be accepted by and become part of mainstream finance. Crypto exchanges and companies are poaching attorneys left and right from both law firms and other crypto companies, bringing them in-house to help navigate an evolving regulatory landscape while helping to curb outside legal expenses, industry participants said. Law firms, which are sometimes losing their partners to in-house positions, are also building up their crypto practices to maintain that valuable expertise. And then finally, a story from Bloomberg. London Metal Exchange abandons attempt to crack gold market. Bourse's gold and silver futures expected to stop on July 11th. Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley were among banks involved. The London Metal Exchange will abandon its attempt to break into precious metal trading after 5 years. The LME, the world's biggest exchange for industrial metals, partnered with banks including Goldman Sachs Group and Morgan Stanley in 2017 to launch the contracts. London is one of two major centers of precious metals trading, where trillions of dollars in gold and silver and associated derivatives change hands each year. It's an almost entirely over-the-counter business dominated by top bullion banks like JP Morgan Chase and HSBC Holdings. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. That helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.